Welcome to the Ether. Today is Tuesday, January 18th, 2022. Today on the Ether, we have the Cosmic Perspective AMA, hosted by One Planet and Terabytes. Ad Astra.
Cosmic Perspective, I'm going to invite them to co-host. They're already here. And who knows who else will come on as well. We might have special guests, the One Planet team. Cosmic, I have invited you to co-host. I think you need to accept in order to be on.
Hey there. Thank you.
Hey
there. All right. Welcome. Great to have you both here speaking on behalf of Cosmic Perspective. You two are Cosmic Perspective. We saw both of the Cosmic Perspective team on a recent Terabytes interview. And I don't know what other guests are going to come here, but I will add the guests you mentioned if they show up as quickly as possible. Anyone else, if you'd like to request to speak, go ahead and raise your hand. I see that, Edwin. I'll go ahead and let you speak. If you if you're weird, if you say weird things, you're just going to get kicked. So, but any questions are allowed, whether it be about SpaceX and Cosmic Perspective and Starbase and Mars and orbital mechanics, or whether it be about Terra and NFTs, or whether it be about, you know, anything really adjacent here. That'll be great. Edwin, welcome to the stage.
How are you doing, sir? Just wanted to introduce myself. I'm the community manager for One Planet, and I'm just here to provide some support for you.
Excellent. Thanks for being here. One Planet, the new NFT marketplace on Terra that is doing all sorts of exciting things. They had a recent contest. It was well-hyped and a lot of entries, scores and scores of entries, and a multi-round judging process and Cosmic Perspective came ahead as one of the winners there and is, I believe, the first series launching on One Planet. Is that right, guys?
That's right. Mm-hmm. We are so honored and so excited.
Yeah, super excited here. I'm briefly mentioned, and anyone who's seen the video, just cool things you can do with the Cosmic Perspective NFTs. What do you think is going to be the first like cool thing? Is it going to be watching it on VR?
Oh, probably.
I think so.
Yeah. I mean, we've got some really cool prizes, such as like our augmented reality art pieces, the VR films. But of course, the big one is come join us in Starbase for a day of photographing Starship.
Yeah, come hang out. Let's shoot Starship and let's learn about what's going on here and just kind of explore the area together and have a lot of fun. So really excited to welcome as many folks as we can down here, always.
Yep. Yeah. Do you have any idea of how many NFTs will unlock a ticket to Starbase? We've talked about it before, but I don't really have any idea of what the general number might be.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so the way the NFTs are organized is we have different categories, which all sort of gather around a theme. For example, they might be photographs or films that show humans working next to the large spacecraft or the launch pad. And we sort of get a sense of scale. We get to see the workers working in the field. So those are humans for scale category. Mm-hmm. We have moments of Zen, which are beautiful moments of us in the field and sunrises and sunsets and really moments that kind of stuck with us over the years and were ones that we found most beautiful and moving. So that's its own category. So basically
Valhalla,
yeah,
explosions.
Right. many test missions have been conducted and some have been more exciting in different ways than others. So we've got some amazing high speed footage of all the test missions and all the explosions and dramatic events that are just so exciting and really mark exciting moments in history and in testing and in spaceflight data gathering. So that's all part of the collection, and that's lovingly named Valhalla. That's a separate category too. Go ahead.
Yeah, and so we have seven total categories that all of the pieces have been lovingly cataloged within. And so this is really, really fun. The way that you collect is through the random box feature on One Planet, which is really cool. You basically just decide how many you want to mint. Right now on their Twitter account, they actually have an instruction video to help you understand what this is going to look like tomorrow. And then when you mint, you don't actually know what you're going to get. So it's a mystery box. We've been calling them mystery time capsules, right? So once you find out what you've minted, you go to claim it and you'll see instantly, oh my gosh, I got a Valhalla and it's cosmically rare, right? So the cosmic rarity is signified by a nice gold frame. And then for the experiential reward for coming down to Starbase to spend an entire day photographing Starship with us, we made it really fun. So basically, you need to collect three NFTs from each category, and three of which have to be gold or silver framed. So that's either epically rare and cosmically rare. So we thought we would just have a lot of fun with it. Most of the prize tiers are like that. But if you just collect one, you already get immediate access to our beautiful space community Discord, which has always been reserved for our supporters. It's a really beautiful, meaningful place to us where we just share behind the scenes what we're doing every day here at Starbase. Collect any two, you'll get the same kind of perks that we give our patrons, which is monthly access to our Starship and rocket launch VR experiences. So yeah, there's a lot of ways to dig in and win some fun prizes. And hey, shout out to Dr. Proctor. I know you're busy. I can't believe you're here. Thank you.
Yeah, welcome. Dr. Proctor's on, a real life astronaut and artist and NFT enthusiast.
NFT artist. Yeah.
I have invited you to speak, Dr. Proctor, if you'd like to come on, but if you can't, that's understandable. And so, the really exciting stuff happening here. If you do want to know more about Dr. Proctor, she's featured on Netflix Countdown as well. There, Netflix Countdown has her own art as well. I'll tweet out the places you can see some of the art Dr. Proctor's done, some of the other work, St. Jude's fundraising initiatives and other things, other charity-focused initiatives using NFTs. Just really great stuff, and we'll make sure to get that tweeted out later in the day.
Hi, everyone.
Hi.
I just wanted to drop in a moment to help support Ryan and Mary Liz with Cosmic Perspective and the drop, because what they do is amazing. It's beautiful stuff. And so happy that they've got this big collection coming out, and I can't wait to be able to support it however possible.
You're amazing. You are so awesome. Right now, Dr. Proctor is, not only is there a SpaceX launch going on right now, so most of our friends are watching live, as we also have a live window open watching this launch, but she's preparing for the LA Art Show. Good luck with that. I hope you have a blast. Are you dropping NFTs there?
Yes. So I have one piece, Seeker, that's going to go as, and it's a collection that, and it's edition, I should say. It's an edition of 100, and it's this beautiful animated piece. The original drawing that I did actually went to space with me. It went down to the bottom of the Titanic, and it also went to the bottom of the Mariana Trench. And so it's based off of a real line drawing that I did that then got donated to St. Jude Children's Research Hospital and then sold at auction for $100,000. And so this is an animated version of that I just think is beautiful, and I hope people really love it.
Is this the one where you're reading the poetry over it?
That's correct, where poetry is coming down the trench. And I should say it's animated by Corey Shaw. And so just a really talented, artist and graphic designer and, Hollywood person that does amazing work for movies. And so I'm really lucky to have him. And the music underneath is Subtractive, who is also doing the test shot Starfish, who is the music for SpaceX. It's that crew that is putting that has the music underneath Seeker.
It's beautiful. I just want to take a moment to say how much I appreciate you, Cyan, obviously, just as a friend, and also for coming. I know you have a lot going on, so this is really meaningful. For anybody who doesn't know, Cyan is just one of the most amazing, most gracious, beautiful human beings. And she just recently went, we were cutting up, I think, when y'all were talking and introducing her. So I apologize if this is a repeat. But Cyan went and orbited the planet for 3 days, had this beautiful, incredibly unique perspective of our planet from a SpaceX Crew Dragon capsule, was one of just, 600 people that have ever done such a thing on our planet in all of human history, and then came back and kind of just integrated her experience by doing art and poetry. And she's been the one who's really kind of been like inviting me into the NFT space. Our community members about a year ago kind of got us into crypto because they wanted to support us, not through a middleman. They wanted to support us directly and in a way that would grow over time. So we're grateful to them. But it was Cyan who really invited me into the community and showed me the way. We went to NFT NYC together. We went to Art Basel, DecentralCon, where we met the One Planet folks and the Terabytes folks. That was so much fun. And I just have to say that I've been really inspired by the way that she boldly just, finds new ways to communicate, to share her art, to connect with other people. And so she's been really instrumental in my path and is always, always encouraging me to just go for it, whatever crazy thing I want to do. So I'm so glad you're here. It means a lot.
Well, of course, because I mean, it's a community, and what you are doing, what you guys are doing at Cosmic Perspective is it's beautiful. It's the cinematography and then your music. And I just I love the fact that we have connected and become friends and have been able to support each other in such meaningful ways and have gone down this path of NFTs together. And I should say that when I went down to Starbase and, you guys gave me the tour and we just had the best time. And just, again, it's that the way you capture the story around what is happening there is so special. And I feel so fortunate to have you guys as part of my, my close friends. And so that's one of, I wanted to take the moment to come in and just, I love the fact that this room is filling up and people are getting to hear about your work and how special it is. And so I'm really glad to be here to support this.
Thank you.
And this is being recorded. So yeah, the room is filling up, but there are people who haven't gotten on yet who are going to hear later. It'll be on available for a long time on Twitter after this. So just so everyone's aware, this is recorded. Thanks so much for coming on. Cosmic Perspective, guys, and Dr. Cyan. I'm like an armchair space enthusiast. I think I've got 3 Kerbal Space Program campaigns kind of all in different stages saved, right? But it was talking to you, all of you, that really convinced me that we're going to make it to Mars. Yes. It was the enthusiasm, the community, the confidence, the experience, everything that you conveyed, both like factually, but also emotionally, just finally, it dispelled some of the doubts I had. And so tell me more how your work and how this NFT series, it's called The Road to Mars, right? How does that play with the journey to Mars? What excites you about the journey to Mars? What are some of the big challenges? How is this community going to be involved in getting us to Mars?
Oh my gosh, these are the best questions. Thank you. So, we have been chronicling space exploration for years now, Ryan since 2015 and me since 2018, every single day. That's all we do. We live, breathe, and eat space. and so we have a front row seat to history in the making. We are we're very clear on the trajectory. It's the most exciting time in human history. Yeah. I know we are a planet with many challenges. We've got a lot going on, but it really is the most pivotal and exciting time. People don't really understand because, and I don't blame them, there's very little real emphasis on what's happening in space exploration. You know, as someone who's been a space communicator for many years now, and I started with astronomy, I found that people did not know anything about the stars. I didn't either until I just dove in myself. I had no idea, for example, until 2016, when I decided that I wanted to return to my love of space. I didn't know what human exploration in space had been going on since the Apollo era. I had no clue. So I dove in, I started interviewing astronauts, I started just documenting what was happening. And then I realized, oh my God, we have had for 21 years now, continuous human presence in space. There is not one day in the past 21 years that a human hasn't been living and working on the International Space Station, where countries who were not always friends came together long ago and decided to do this amazing, great thing together. So from that 21 years ago, building that beautiful space station, which is now bigger than a football field, to today, where it's not anymore just NASA astronauts that are allowed to go, or ESA astronauts or Russian cosmonauts. It's not just government astronauts anymore. It's civilians like Dr. Proctor, who's here, who went on the first ever all-civilian mission to space. This is huge. This is all thanks to commercial space, and really thanks to NASA for partnering with commercial space to make that happen, for creating the NASA Commercial Crew Program. So what's really, really cool is that now that the commercial industry is in here and SpaceX has been really pushing the envelope with this, we are seeing an exponential growth in human exploration. And, you know, NASA understandably has to move with the whims of the current demand of the general public, of the taxpayer, of the administration that's in charge. So NASA has to usually prove that they're doing some kind of, you know, hard science or whatever, whenever they're doing their missions, they're putting those together. So yes, NASA is going back to the moon. They're going to send a woman for the first time to the moon in the next few years. They're testing their new moon rocket. They've also selected SpaceX's Starship, a version of it, the human lander, to land those astronauts on the moon. So that's all happening in the next few years. In the next decade, that's happening. And we're going to create a permanent base on the moon. That's happening. And the general public isn't aware of this, but we're here watching that Starship taking shape. We're here in Florida and Cape Canaveral watching them test the SLS rocket. So for us, it's very, very real and very clear how fast it's all moving. And then I think it's just going to hit everybody all at once. Oh my God, we're leaping off the planet permanently for the first time. Oh my God. And so what we have always tried to do is tell that story and share it in an emotional way, because for us, this is the most awe-inspiring, captivating story of our time in all of human history. And we really want to share that in every way. And we really saw that, you know, this community, this NFT community, is a community, and just the broader crypto community is this, I'm telling you, Cyan will back me up on this one. Cyan calls it the Jedi space, the just, equitable, diverse, and inclusive space. But it is the most inclusive and diverse community I have ever witnessed. And it's a bunch of optimistic futurists, just like the space community. So it's so cool to now be part of both worlds and see them kind of come together. And yeah, it's just for us another way to grow our community and to share this exciting journey to Mars in a new way. And I'm really happy that this affected you as well, like that, that we were able to kind of rekindle your love of space exploration with what we're doing over here.
I mean, that's definitely true. And I I guess if you had pinned me down before DecentralCon and said, what's the most exciting space thing that's coming up? I would have said the Webb Telescope, right? I mean, in a few months, this is going to be an amazing year.
Wrong. Yeah, right.
This is going to be an amazing year all over the place with NFTs, with your guys' amazing rocket photography and video and VR, and with the first images coming in. It's going to be some months yet, but the first big images coming in from the new telescope of just things we haven't seen before, maybe things we haven't imagined before. It's going to be the biggest year yet for like space media. So just amazing. Yeah.
Talk about cosmic perspective. That's why we're called what we're called. I mean, we're going to have a completely new understanding of our universe when those images begin to come back. Mm-hmm. I cannot wait. I've been looking forward to the James Webb Telescope for so long. And for anyone who doesn't know, this has an infrared camera on it. So we're going to be able to see further back in time than ever before. This is going to be like a sister to Hubble. And we're going to learn things that we never knew were possible to learn. So you wouldn't be wrong about that. But I will say that, you know, obviously in our backyard, just a few miles away, we are most exhilarated by Starship. And we're always most exhilarated by human exploration, because that's what this kind of this human experience, this whole life journey is all about. And the more that we push ourselves out there, you know, the more we grow in here.
Yeah, and reusability too is just immensely exciting, and it really is what has unlocked this new era of space travel. Commercial space and civilian space travel. So seeing a Falcon 9 rocket come back to the landing pad is and hearing the sonic boom as it comes back down, or being at the Cape right on the beach as a drone ship comes back with a Falcon 9 rocket on it is just one of the most incredible things ever. And then what they're building at Starbase, what Starship is a 100% reusable vehicle in a completely mind-bending, sci-fi, exciting, fun, almost dream scenario where we're watching the pieces right now come together on the launch tower that act as giant chopstick-like arms that will catch both the giant super heavy booster and the second stage ship, Starship, as it comes in for a landing. So it's going to come down to a almost like a belly flop maneuver, reorient itself, hover, and get caught by chopstick arms and placed back on the launch pad. And it's just unreal. It's exciting. And you know, if you're not able to be here or see these images, or if you're kind of not connected to the space, it seems pretty far out. It seems like, you know, maybe this is an idea a couple generations away or something like that, but it's really like 6 months away, maybe, or a year away. Like it's happening or now. And we see it every day, and it's the most inspiring thing ever. It really is.
Yeah. And I just want to, for anybody who's not super familiar, this is so new. There's never been a fully and rapidly reusable rocket vehicle ever. Even the Falcon 9 has to throw away a piece of the system. And, you know, all the many, many other rockets, they get dumped into the ocean. Like, that's what we have done in the past. That was our best solution, is like, oh, let's let most of it burn up in the atmosphere, right? And I love that SpaceX is like, no, we can't do that. And it's for many reasons, environmental and practical and economical. We can't, their focus is singularly on Mars. And it's beautiful to watch that singular vision take, you know, how they follow that through with every single step. And so for them, it's about this vehicle that can be easily reused immediately. And by the way, just to kind of give you an idea, this is similar to like a 747, right? This is a lot like the beginning of the commercial airline industry. So Starship is the second stage of it, is the thing that you've seen with the flaps, right? That is most recognizable, but that's only one half of it. And in our collection, you'll see that. every single NFT comes with a little story, and you'll get to kind of know more about each piece of the system. But that piece is the upper stage. And usually, like right now, like the capsule that Dr. Proctor went to space in, it took four people at a time to space. That's kind of that's typically been the maximum, right? Except for the shuttle, which just took a few more. But that's not a lot of people to take to space. Starship can take 100 people or tons and tons of cargo to space. And that's a game changer. And the fact that it will be so completely 100% reusable means that it will be a lot cheaper, but it also, like, we can go from point to point on the planet, like not just to Mars. That's the other cool thing. I don't think people realize Starship is going to completely disrupt the airline industry. First of all, you'll be able to go from Tokyo to New York in 30 minutes, take a quick trip to space, come right back down. No big deal. 30 minutes of weightlessness, super fun. So yes, we're excited about JWST and all these other beautiful missions. But for us, it's Starship is completely reinventing everything about rocket science. And it is so cool to watch just normal, you know, people like us out there building stuff, welding it together. I think that will become really clear and exciting when you're looking at the collection pieces. It just looks like, you know, oh, it's a construction zone. This is where people are putting all of the individual pieces together. It's so exciting.
Hey guys. All right. Welcome. Hey, Zach. How are you guys doing? Thanks. Yeah. Welcome, Zach, to the stage.
Yeah. I just wanted to
know each other.
You caught my ear with something you said, and I just wanted to like know your opinion on a little bit deeper. Like, do you think that Starship itself is going to be the vehicle that gets us to that point to point travel, or do you think it's the vehicle that inspires that point to point travel?
That's a good question. I think it's tough to say exactly. There might be sort of a gradual evolution process where, you know, it certainly would morph into something a bit different, but would it be a totally different vehicle, new name, new completely new design? I'm not sure. We'll certainly see. But I think a lot of the things that they're learning now is so much about what will carry over. So I think it'd be more similar than dissimilar. Yeah.
Yeah. I think my worry is that a lot of the deadlines that we've all kind of held close to, like, oh, orbital in July, you know, things like that. All of those deadlines are slowly starting to slip more and more and more. So I feel like some of those long-term goals are kind of seeming further away. And it's like reaching the point where I'm honestly wondering if they're going to have the ability to even be marketing themselves as doing those kind of flights or launches when they kind of need to have every ship that they're able to produce in the time that they have to accomplish the mission that they're set out for.
Right. And I think that's kind of what we've seen with how they've prioritized development in the past, is that there will be a really large creative push in the beginning. But in order to meet the extreme deadlines, they really have to almost singularly focus on the near term development that's required to get the first step executed as quickly as possible. So I think as soon as some of these larger milestones hit, some of that creativity will come back after these, you know, a lot of this really revolutionary kind of edge thinking has been proven out, hopefully. So that's my hope. I think it's certainly going to take a bit longer, of course.
It's Elon time versus real time, right? Yeah, we always
it's
see
a parallel,
we know that
parallel dimension.
Multiply it by 1.5. I think it's getting a little better. But I will say that Gwynne Shotwell, the president of SpaceX, who is just, she's incredible. I don't know how she takes Elon's crazy visions and makes them completely real in every way, through the team, through the budgets that she's able to get. But that woman is committed to that plan. So I don't think she'll let that go very easily. So for her, that's the thing she's most looking forward to. Excited to take more questions too. So please.
Sure.
in.
Please, anyone, if it's about, it can be about space, it can be about Bitcoin and Luna, it can be about NFTs, VR. I mean, there's so many topics here that you've got to have interesting questions about them. In the meantime, yeah, on the previous topic, it's kind of like, it's the same in software development. I mean, the challenges are a little bit less deadly if not handled correctly, but it's the same in most software development. It's kind of done when it's done, you know, and you guess along the way about estimates, but things always come up. But I've been impressed by the team's ability at SpaceX and all the adjacent teams to be so iterative. What I mean is, like, they set their minds on having a booster land, right? Like, that was a big challenge for a while, trying to land a booster back on Earth. And now they're like effortlessly landing multiple boosters routinely on floating platforms in space. And it's just, it was a challenge. It seemed really hard. There were failures, but then once they got it, they got it. And now it's just a part of the equation. And those things snowball. So I think it was that realization that as we hit more and more things that seem like big challenges, but once we solve them, they compound. That it's just, technology can, there's an old saying that, you tend to overestimate what you can do in a year and underestimate what you can do in, 10 years, something like that, because we don't think exponentially. So,
right.
I mean, I wouldn't doubt that maybe some of those short-term timelines are not going to pan out, but that long-term things are going to move faster than we thought. We've got a bunch of requesters here. So I'm gonna go ahead and add you guys in the order I see you. The first is Rocket Glider. Rocket Glider,
hey.
Welcome to the stage.
Welcome.
Rocket Glider, you're on. Do you have a question? All right.
Yes, I'm going to add
Silas.
Go ahead. How you doing? I was fortunate enough just to watch the Falcon 9 go up. I'm in South Florida, so I was watching it with binoculars. That was really cool. It flew right under the moon. It was really neat.
Wow.
So
beautiful.
My question is, I've always had a problem with heading to Mars, like the first thing, you know, that being the ultimate goal. And I always was curious as why don't they build like a station or start even like a Star Trek type ship in the space between Earth and the moon that we could see if it's even possible to build in space safely, and instead of going all the way to Mars to see if it can be done. You know what I'm saying?
Totally. Yeah, that's a common, it's a very common argument. And actually, that's the route, as you probably know, that NASA is taking right now. So the plan is to go to the moon in just the next few years here. And Starship will actually be part of that process. I was saying a little earlier that a variant of Starship is going to be the lander for that. So that is the NASA plan, is to go to the moon, set up a permanent base. And of course, I'm like giddy with scenes of 2001 A Space Odyssey, Clavius Crater. I'm like, yeah, I want to go there. And so that is the plan. So we've been in low Earth orbit, as you probably know, for over 21 years continuously now, with the International Space Station. We've learned a lot there, but that's only low Earth orbit. Right. Next, moving up to the moon. Sorry.
Right. I'm just agreeing. Yep.
Yeah, yeah. And then, of course, you know, NASA is focused on the Deep Space Gateway. And, you know, but Elon is very committed. And I've seen it. I've seen, because we've been documenting everything that all of the space organizations in the U.S. have been doing since 2015, Ryan, 2018, me. And very much watching SpaceX just dominate the scene. And we've been in the rooms, the press rooms with Elon, where we ask him about his vision, his goal, you know, and he is solely focused on this one goal of going to Mars. And what's so incredible is that, you know, we used to call it the moonshot, right? Like, you go for your moonshot and you're going to hit the stars. I think that's the phrase. It's something like that. he is just singularly focused on this one thing. And we've seen how everything has been so successful. Every little step that he takes on that route has been so successful. So it will be interesting to see how it plays out. But the plan is, of course, to send first robots and to start building things on the surface of Mars. Obviously, we already have a lot of robots there. There's been a lot of great exploration. And now NASA's desperate to get humans on the surface because it's really hard to do the kind of scientific research they want to do without sending a human. So it's in my opinion, and you know, this goes back to, I won't retell the whole story. I'll actually just plug Zach Golden, who was just speaking. I just did this really fun conversation with him on his Twitter account. You can see he posted a podcast, and I shared the story of the first time I asked Elon a question in the press room, and it has really inspired me to this day. He just said, you know, I always thought we would fail. Everyone told me we would fail. We came so close, but you know, I thought it was worth a try anyway. And I think that for me, I recognize that if we want to survive as a species for a long, long time, we have to go for these big goals and it's worth a try, mm-hmm. You know? So it'll be interesting to watch, and I'm here for it, 100%.
All right, thank you. I'm going to take the next question now. Silas, I've made you a speaker. I'm going to unmute you now. Welcome to the stage. I think you have to unmute yourself, actually.
Yeah. I just want to add something, too. I was just thinking about earlier, the Ship 20 launch. Once we finally get FAA approval, that's going to be insane. I mean, we've never done this before. And we're just waiting to see how it plays out. I mean, that's more thrust than the Saturn V lifting off. Woo! It's just crazy.
It's going to be absolutely crazy. 29 Raptor engines on Super Heavy right now, 33 in future versions. We have no idea what that's going to feel like, sound like, viewing up close ish. You know, certainly from South Padre Island, or there's really some cool beach locations around that the public can view, and that's kind of where we'll be at and nearby. We've felt three engines before on Starship high altitude tests.
that
is awesome. That is amazing. It shakes you. It feels unlike anything else. We've, you know, felt Falcon launches, but 29 Raptors. It's just going to be amazing.
Do you live nearby? Will you be here in person?
Unfortunately not, but I might come to the first time they ever catch a booster in a Starship.
Cool. Do it. We'll see you here. That's awesome. Thanks for that. That was my favorite. I can't wait. 20.
All right. Oh, man. Thanks, Silas. And I'll leave you up on stage if you have a follow-up. But we've also got Nilo. I'm going to ask you to go ahead and ask your question here.
Well, one of them is more of a envy, because I'm in London, and you know, seeing you guys watching this, you know, this SN 8, 9, etc., lift off and land, you know, nothing but envy for you guys, because what I can do is watch on TV. Hopefully once this pandemic is over, I can pop down and see an actual rocket launch, since UK hasn't exactly launched one in what, 40 years?
Wow.
Yeah. And when we did launch one, it was in Australia, so it didn't really count. So cool. Yeah, one of the questions I asked about the earlier one, why Mars, is I think it's important to like stress people that Mars is an amazing platform to explore deeper space, because the gravity is like what, 1/3, and the atmosphere is like just 1%, so you can take really large amount of mass into orbit. And you can construct massive space stations, even Earth to Mars transport systems, massive transport systems. The issue we have with Earth is that it's just too damn heavy. You can only lift small amount of mass into orbit, and it's really expensive as well. So if we can somehow utilize Mars resources, we can actually start building large ships that could, you know, become a standard Mars to Earth transporter. You know, like Starship docking with it, people transporting to that ship, and then that leaving Earth and then going to Mars. So Yeah, I mean, Mars is it's just essential for stepping off, because otherwise it's virtually impossible to get anything into orbit. Moon is great, but the gravity can have some effects on the body. So we know that low gravity is not exactly healthy. So Mars, although it has 1/3, it shouldn't have that much of an effect on the human body. So you have low gravity, you got low atmosphere, plenty of resources, you know, we should go get it while we can before the window closes.
Ah, yes, that window closing. Ryan loves that. That's the famous Elon argument, right? Like, it took us this long to evolve to this stage of human evolution where we can actually take that step. And we don't know how long that window is open for us. I like the more hopeful, like, you know, like, let's just do it because it sounds amazing. You know, I want to see how far we can take the expansion of life in a conscious and thoughtful way. But it is true that there are definitely things that could happen to our own planet. And I would like to see our species survive. And I think that, yes, taking that next step out onto another world is important to ensure that. Now, I will say, since we're focused on Starship, that the cool thing about Starship is that it was made, the SpaceX engineers had to work extra, extra hard to make engines that use methane fuel, because on Mars, it's abundant in methane. And so they wanted to make something that would be easily refueled also on the red planet so that people could come back home, do round trips.
That's amazing. Thanks everyone for the questions. But before we go on, and I see your hand there, Zach, I see the other requests. Mary Liz, Ryan, can you tell us briefly about what this whole Road to Mars Archive on One Planet is about? We have some SpaceX fans here that might know about Cosmic Perspective, but there's this chronicled VR super experience with ticket potential and stuff. Can you summarize it in just maybe half a minute or so for the newcomers?
Half a minute. Go. Right. All right. Sorry, I'm long-winded every time. So we have been documenting this incredible Road to Mars for years now. For the past year straight, we've been living in Starbase area. This is where SpaceX is building their Mars-bound Starship rocket. And, you know, we've always documented this with cinematic beauty, you know, these gorgeous cinema cameras, VR cameras. Obviously, Ryan is an amazing photographer as well. So we've been sharing that through our YouTube channel. We have a Road to Mars series that we started, and we have a new episode coming out soon. We've been working on, you know, we're always pushing the bounds. We've been creating augmented reality art for years. And the VR content we put out for our patrons. And now this new NFT collection is just a new way to share the story. And we just saw an amazing opportunity here, you know, to expand our community into this space, bring people into the space community. And also, along with it, you're able to preserve human history on the blockchain, collect these moments, support what we're doing, support what other space artists are doing. So the collection is a series of epics. The first epic, the first drop, which is coming tomorrow. Oh my God, wow. It's happening so fast. So tomorrow, we're so excited to launch on One Planet. We put together 242 individual photo and film moments, and I wrote personal soundtracks to convey my emotion from each of these special moments. And all in these videos that you'll see. And every little piece tells a story. And when you see the whole collection together, once everything is minted, you'll see the evolution of Starbase over the entire past year. Now that's Epic One, the dawn of Starship. And then probably each quarter, you know, we're going to drop a new Epic. So we'll have another series come out that tells the next chapter of the Starship story. That chapter is called Orbital. That's when we finally move away from the current test campaign and into the Orbital campaign, which will be incredible. All of that comes with fun prizes.
Hey, Mary,
as well.
Cut you off, but you're kind of cutting out a little bit for me. I just want to make sure you're not cutting out for everybody else.
Oh, no.
You're okay with me. I think that Zach is cutting out for me.
Yes.
Zach, I think it's on, okay, on your me. End.
But thank you for
Zach. Sorry.
I appreciate that. No worries. Pete was cutting out for me earlier, so do let us know. But yes, so it not only tells this grand, exciting story, but also comes with really fun prizes. So, you know, I see Mike Mongo here. Hey, Mud Up. Mike has also been instrumental in bringing me into the NFT community. And I have learned so much about all of the really cool ways that you can use NFTs and that we will totally use NFTs as a society moving forward. This blew my mind. And so we thought we would start playing with those advanced, exciting opportunities. For example, utility and experience. So these NFTs, if you play our fun game and you collect a certain amount and you're able to collect from those three categories and have at least three silver and gold frames, that means you get to come out to Starbase and spend a day photographing Starship with us. I already said all of this about the prizes, but for us, this was just a way to really begin to experiment with what can an NFT actually be. It's a ticket to an experience. It is a way to connect to an artist and stay connected in perpetuity. It's a way to reinvent the way we support artists. Oh my God, finally, an industry came along and disrupted that whole thing. And so this is us just really playing in the space and enjoying sharing the story and trying to push the bounds with what each NFT actually does. So we're really, really looking forward to getting the feedback from the community from this first drop and finding out what works really well, what would they like to see, and, you know, what new things are happening in the space that we can begin to explore during the next drop.
So you're right, Zach, that Mars may not exactly be tomorrow, but the road to Mars is tomorrow. these NFTs dropping tomorrow on One Planet. I do want to get to One Planet and why you picked Terra, why you picked One Planet, what you think about all these things. But first, we have some questions. I'm going to add Grandpa, but first, Silas has raised his hand. So, Silas, do you have another question?
It isn't really a question, but I just want... It's been an amazing day with the GSE test tank exploding and all that nitrogen getting all over the pad, and then the beautiful Falcon 9 launch today. I just want to just give a moment just to appreciate how much SpaceX is doing lately.
Amen to
right
that.
Yeah,
a moment of pause, please, to consider what we as a species are doing in just one day. And by the way, I know Mike Mongo just probably saw the launch with his own eyeballs. So if he comes up, we'll hear something about that from him. But it's such an exciting time. I mean, there's every single day here at Starbase, we drive out there for sunrise and sunset. Ryan's always getting beautiful time lapses, and the activity never, ever stops. SpaceX makes such incredible progress because they have shifts that run day and night. You know, they're so committed to this vision, and that's been really inspiring for us. So we really enjoy sharing. Thanks.
So we'll talk about the collection next. I'm going to get to your question in 1 second, Grandpa Joe. But the collection and the experience you'll get if you mint one of these Cosmic Perspective NFTs is I just dropped a video, retweeted a video on my profile and Terabyte's profile. You can see someone minting one in a computer browser. And if you want to find out more, there's also videos available where we interviewed Cosmic Perspective, and they're all kind of previews and VR experiences and things that'll be involved. But first, Grandpa Joe, you're on the stage. Welcome.
Hi.
Grandpa.
Grandpa Joe is a great, amazing Starship community member. It's so an honor to have you here.
Hey guys, it's Grandpa Joe. Can y'all hear me all right?
Hi. Perfect.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. So my question is, realizing that, you know, there's so much exciting stuff going on with Starship right now, but like your title says, we have a long road to Mars, a lot of hardship and a lot of engineering and challenges. So I wanted to ask you, what did you see as like the major challenges? And as a follow-up, like, how are you going to keep like all the excitement around Starship as we're facing all these challenges, maybe failures, maybe just lulls and delays? And what do you see as those challenges?
Yeah. So I love that you asked this question, because today I just realized it's my 1 year anniversary of going on a Mars simulation. Exactly 1 year ago today, I went with a friend of mine, Hillary, to high seas, to the top of a volcano. And I lived in a 1200 square foot little buckyball and learned how to be an astronaut. And it was the most exhilarating, fun experience. And it was also super challenging. So I realized that that system was designed initially by NASA to do research on astronauts and Martian exploration. And the way that they built the entire infrastructure, there was only a urinal for a man, for example. You know, like, it was not set up for a small person like myself. The beds were not set up for a tall person. Just really simple little design things that made the human experience lesser than, which would have been really, really easy to fix. So I'm really all in on the thought experiment of putting us out there on Mars and thinking about, what do we want that to look like? This is my favorite thing about space exploration in general, I will say, because when you do that thought experiment and you start thinking about, like, how do we want our society to look like on Mars? What kind of communities do we want to build? What do we want our life to be like? What should our economy be like? This is one reason why we love crypto, because we're exploring the design of that system. And when you ask yourself those questions, you realize, oh my gosh, we can fix those right now, right here. That is the beautiful thing about it. I think the greatest challenges are human. I think that it's crew cohesion. It's finding how to work together in super stressful situations. Obviously, there will be issues of radiation that we need to work out or better understand. But for me, I feel like the engineering, it's just, I'm watching it play out before my eyes, and I am so amazed at the ingenuity when you think outside of the box, you question the question. I'm not worried about like the technology to get there and to have the robots building the habitats and all of that. I'm really more excited to confront the challenge of the human experience personally. And I think to your question about the lulls between Starship events, I mean, I would say that it's been a lull since the last launch, right? Mm-hmm. But every day, as you know, thousands of people are watching GSE tanks, you know, just do their thing. I mean, we're called watchers for a reason, right? Like, people are so excited about this. And I think that's only going to grow and continue personally. Yeah.
And you know, I watch every day. It does worry me a little bit. Like, the Apollo missions were fantastic. And then once we landed on the moon a few times, the general population was, you know, they faded away quickly.
Yeah.
I think what's so exciting now is the communities that have sprouted up and are following and becoming a part of what's happening so closely. So I think that there's such a large amount of energy in the public, in these communities, that it's really going to keep us moving forward in new ways, unlike the past when it was really centralized and really, you know, kind of dependent on one administration or another and budgets and voting and things like that. So,
right. Starlink can fund it all.
Is invested now and can't take it away.
Yeah. Thank you for that question.
So I have a question. Oh, sorry. Didn't mean to cut you off, and apologize for the earlier interruption. I thought your connection was messing up. So, my question was, you know, kind of getting onto what I think you guys were planning on discussing tonight. You know, I've been interested in the NFT subject for a long time, but none of the topics tend to like cater to anything that I'm actually interested in. So, you know, one thing that I've noticed over time is that, like, you guys have done something that other people have not done in this space, which is, like, actually monetize your content way better than anybody else that I've ever seen, as far as, like, posting a single picture and, you know, having one person making a single purchase. So I kind of am interested in, like, what you guys, like, what motivated you guys to get into that, and, like, how you've actually been able to be successful by, you know, operating in that way.
Sure. Yeah. Thank you so much for the question, Zach. So exactly a year ago, we had one of our community members, you know, we've always only been supported by Patreon, our patron supporters. And, you know, that's, I think it was exactly a year ago, or maybe a little more now, that one of our patrons reached out to us and said, "You guys, I'm going to school you." He was like a professor on crypto, and told us about Ethereum and told us about NFTs, and said, "I really, really want to support you without the middleman. Please let me set up a wallet, you know, do this thing." And we were so intrigued by this that we dove all the way in. And then that's when I just discovered this incredible, beautiful community of people that are a bunch of futurists, just like us, Zach. Like, these are space people in my mind. And we were just enamored with the way that, I mean, as someone who's come from the music industry, and I know firsthand how hard it is. And honestly, it's not always been easy for us, you know, being filmmakers. And so I understand very much the challenge of being an artist and trying to find a way to fund that passion. And then all of a sudden we are seeing, oh my goodness, like, these people, there are people that really care, really want to establish a lasting relationship with that artist. And they see the value in investing in that person. You know, I think that's what it is more than anything. When you purchase an NFT, yes, you're probably investing for yourself. You're probably looking for utility, experience, but also you like that person and you want to see them succeed. And you know that this is a way for them to always in perpetuity be supported by that purchase, because no longer is it like, you know, in the old days, I sold vinyls, right? For some reason, nobody wanted a CD, which was really, really cheap to print and like more eco-friendly, but everybody wanted vinyls. I'm like, I get it. They're very nostalgic and beautiful, but they cost so much to make. And so we'd sell these vinyls and then people would resell them and resell them. And we would never see any of that money. When streaming services came along and, you know, you get pennies, maybe like every quarter, you might get a few bucks for the thousands of plays that you got on Spotify. Well, now, finally, musicians are really finding ways to share their music. Filmmakers are finding ways to share behind the scenes moments from their films and fund these things, and then have an everlasting fund that grows, that supports their further work. So for us, it was just like a really exciting place to play and be, and then support other people. So yeah, and more than anything, it's really been, I think, about like the communities. That's what this whole thing is about. I think it's less about the art, and it's more about all these people coming together to design something beautiful and try something new and play. Does that answer the question?
I think so. And there's so many great incentives here that are coming along with this. I mean, before, you maybe created things that you just hoped someone would buy. And, you know, maybe you could dupe somebody, not you specifically, but, you know, you're an artist and you're trying to peddle things, and you don't care if it ends up being quality, resell value, you know, for each individual piece. You're making things that you would just want to sell one time. But there's even more incentive now for you to make things that are, not only is someone going to want to buy, but then someone's going to want to buy from them, and someone's going to eventually want to buy from them, and someone's going to eventually want to buy from them, you know, and people are going to want to buy fractions of and use and show off and talk about. It just makes the artist even more incentivized to make great stuff. And the person who's coming in, they're buying NFTs, like, for example, Cosmic Perspective, they're buying an exclusive VR experience. they're buying a potential, like a part of a ticket to a Starbase tour, or who knows what in the future. Maybe down the road, you know, you guys do really well, which I think you will. Down the road, it's part of a ticket to a moon trip, right?
Yeah, that's what
I'm talking about. Yeah, right? And they're coming in, and they're also supporting Cosmic Perspective, not only when they buy it just financially, but when they show it off, when they talk about it, when they say, hey, I got this NFT, when they list it for sale even, they're promoting Cosmic Perspective more and helping Cosmic Perspective prosper and the work it does prosper, helping you guys make more videos. It's really, I think, a great economic move for Cosmic Perspective, and one that it's a win for both sides. It's a win-win for the community that's buying this stuff, and it's a win-win for you guys that are producing and selling this stuff. So tell us a little bit more. I see your hand, Silas. Let me go ahead and toss it over to Silas again before we move on. Silas, go for it.
Yeah, I see people every day hating on NFT, saying that they can just screenshot them. And it's not about that. It's more about the support and the community coming together just to own the NFTs, support people, and, you know, just have fun and just go about every day thinking like, oh, yeah, I bought this NFT the other day and I had a lot of fun with my friends talking about it and supporting Cosmic Perspective. Like, that's what you should look for when you talk about NFTs.
Silas, you're good. I like you a lot.
Yes.
Thank you.
One of the best spaces questioners we've ever had. yeah, so fantastic. Supporting Cosmic Perspective with NFTs. Well, tell us a little bit more about the launch tomorrow and One Planet and why you went with One Planet, what you're excited about with One Planet. I'm trying to gear this conversation. We can talk for hours and days and months and years about, you know, the glorious future of going to Mars. And I love that. But there's something happening tomorrow. It's a One Planet sale. Tell us about One Planet, your relationship with them, and the sale tomorrow.
Yeah, well, thank you. We are so excited. And yes, we could talk for a thousand years about space. And I hope all of you, you know, end up collecting
in the community,
because that's
what we do every day.
That's all we do every day. This is what we talk about in our Discord channel. It's like, what's the future like? What's it like outside at Starbase today? But tomorrow, you know, we have been working so hard along with the One Planet team, and I could not be more proud of what we have put together. Like, I'm going to be emotional tomorrow. We've never done anything like this. You know, Zach, I think, was referring to our previous one of ones that we'd sold before in the past when we were kind of just getting started in the crypto NFT space. We didn't know that there was anything we could do beyond just like upload an image or a video. And then we started really researching that. And then we met the One Planet team when we were in Miami with Dr. Proctor and Mike Mongo and my friends from Subtractive, the Mutnik community. There we met all of the Terra people. My buddy Kevin Russell, who is here. Hello, Kevin. Really pulled us into the Terra community and was explaining to us the difference between the different blockchains, and everything just kind of came together for us. So, you know, obviously there is an issue with the way that things currently are, in especially in certain blockchain systems that are being worked on, you know, so I don't want to hate on any other group at all, ever. Everybody's hearts are in the right place and they're doing the work necessary to upgrade their systems. But for us, it felt really important to move on to this system, which is a proof of stake system, more energy efficient by far. And when we met the One Planet folks, it was just a simple yes. Mm-hmm. Like, these people are amazing. They're so kind. And, you know, we're Cosmic Perspective. Like, we believe that we are one species on this one planet. And so everything about it, all of the, you know, even just the down to the branding, we're like, these are our people. But what we're doing tomorrow is releasing this massive collection that we've poured our hearts into. And the One Planet team has poured their hearts into their platform. We're launching together. So this is a brand new NFT marketplace on Terra. Terra is the blockchain that we chose because we really, really love the system. We really love the community. We've just been so enamored by how thoughtful and conscious everyone has been. I mean, all I've ever seen from Terrans is, you know, we've created an endowment fund and we've made this much money for this charity. And it's like Angel Protocol's just crushing it. Really, really proud of what everyone's been doing here. And we're honored to join the community. Y'all have welcomed us with open arms and we are so grateful. And yeah, so One Planet is a brand new NFT marketplace. They've never, this is the debut. And the fact that they chose us and decided to launch with us was just the greatest honor. So we cannot wait. And now tomorrow, I know we said this earlier, but if anyone missed it, we made it really fun. The One Planet team really honestly helped us design this whole thing and helped us think way outside of our own box. So these are not one of ones. These are a collection of 242 NFTs, but there's a total supply of 1,420. So these vary in rarity. And there are four rarity categories, and they also are all in different actual categories. Like we said earlier, humans for scale, Valhalla, moments of Zen, stage zero. So it's more like your favorite collecting game, like your collector card game. Or like when I used to go to the bookstore and just buy, I don't know if you guys ever did this, but I would buy a pack of five books wrapped in cardboard paper or brown paper. I would never know what five books I was getting. And then I would be exhilarated when I went home and I opened it up and saw what I got. And I, you know, had these amazing new stories to jump into. That's what we're doing here. So you're going to be minting a random NFT, or you can choose to select, you know, several NFTs, and you'll be able to see what you got. And then you can kind of play the game.
I just wanted to say on behalf of the One Planet team, just thank you guys for all the hard work that you guys put into this collection, because we definitely seen it every day, you know, just morning to night, just you guys putting in the work. But I wanted you to give a little detail into the symbolisms, the small little details in your collection, such as the numbers that not many people know about or might not realize it. But there's a reason you picked the number of supply and how many unique pictures and videos you have.
Yeah, so Grandpa Joe's gonna understand that. I think everybody that's a super space nerd is probably gonna get it. But so we have 242 unique NFTs, 1,420 total supply. The price for each NFT is 1.42 Luna. So if you haven't picked up on it yet, I'm a huge, huge, huge Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy fan. And as you may know, 42 is the answer to life, the universe, and everything. So we just had a lot of fun with it. I've always done that. I've always kind of gone a little overboard with the 42 thing, but we just thought we would just ride that one out and see how it goes. I hope you enjoy. And thanks, Edwin. You all are your troopers. You're amazing.
Wow, yeah, it's been a real journey. It's been a great pleasure working with the One Planet team and seeing this whole thing come together. I do want to open it up for more questions, but let's keep it. I mean, we could do space questions again and art questions for a long time. Let's keep it related to the sale, to NFTs, to Terra, something along those lines. Any questions? I mean, if we don't have any, then I'm going to open it up to any topic. So
I got one more question. So you've been integrating your brand Cosmic Perspective into Terra, and you've been communicating with a lot of different NFT projects. So I'm curious about what's been your experience so far connecting with everybody in the Terra community.
It's been amazing. Absolutely amazing. Just full open arms to us, really. And I've noticed that like there are way more space NFT projects than I knew. I can't divulge some information, but I've been reached out to by some folks that are working on some super top secret, really cool space related projects that, you know, I'm, and, you know, they're inviting me in, and it's, I don't know, it's just been this connector I didn't imagine. We always knew that we would come in and, you know, we'd grow the community in some way, but I feel like we have created long lasting, very meaningful relationships that are changing things, mm-hmm. that are really changing things for us and for them and for the whole space. So yeah. And honestly, I feel like this community has really helped me understand what's actually possible. And that I guess we don't have to work in the old systems anymore. I think it took me a long time to understand that, but the Terra community is just so positive, and they've really helped onboard us, you know, and, mm-hmm. and shown us what truly is possible. And so, yeah, it's been a huge surprise, to be honest. I see we have another speaker, so I'll pause it there.
Yes, we've gotten a couple of requests, one from Mission Mars. And Tim, if you want to request again, I'll go ahead and let you on as well. Once Mission, go ahead and answer your question or ask your question, Mission.
Hey, sorry, I kind of listened in a little bit late, but where's the NFTs going to be hosted on, and how do we find that?
Yeah.
You see the One Planet account. He's a speaker. That Twitter will give you all the information you need to know, including a recent demo, or like a demo video of how to do it.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
Yes, One Planet. And I should explain this right now. And I know, actually realized that he may have left by now. But Hector was asking, in our community, was asking about this. So in order to collect from One Planet, One Planet is on the Terra blockchain. You're going to need to set up a Terra wallet. And we have instructions on our website. I don't know if we have the ability to share a link here, but we will absolutely share a link soon on our Twitter. And One Planet's going to share the landing page as well.
Yeah, on cosmicperspective.com, we have an NFT page that, mm-hmm. that helps list all the details and all the information you need to get started from zero. So
yeah. Yep. And do reach out. Let us know if you have any questions along the way. We'll be around.
If you are not experienced using things, any other questions?
We lost you guys for a second. Sorry if we missed it.
No.
Yeah, same here.
Looks like my connection dropped a little bit. I was just saying, if you're trying to get included in this sale and you're trying to get some NFTs, you should start soon, not the minute the sale launches, getting set up at the using the instructions over there, cosmicperspective.com. Just so if you run into any issues, you can reach out to me here at Terabytes or to One Planet or to Cosmic Perspective and get those issues sorted, especially if you've never used a blockchain wallet or MetaMask or anything like that before.
Yeah, absolutely. And I will also say it's 1.42 Luna per NFT. So we suggest getting more than that, you know, have a little padding there.
All right. Well, so Cosmic, I guess while we wait for more questions, tell me about your relationship with Dr. Proctor. How did you guys meet? And here's Mike. Mike is coming in with a question. But I'll still fire that up to you guys. How did you guys meet? I want to shill her NFT collections again. She was on earlier in the show. If you're coming in late, there will be a recording and you can listen to her talking about her time in space. She has a cool art piece that has orbited the Earth and been to the Titanic and been to the bottom of the Marianas Trench and things like that. She does cool poetry readings and all sorts of things. And charity raises for St. Jude's and others. Really cool art pieces. How did you guys meet? And do you guys have any plans of further collaboration in the NFT space in the future?
Yeah, absolutely. She's asked me to do a lot of music for her in the past. And so that's always been on the list. Dr. Proctor has been just a good friend of mine for years. I remember the day that she won the ticket to space and she wasn't allowed to tell anybody. And I immediately knew she won. Like me and a bunch of friends, we entered the same competition to go to space. Like I immediately knew she won because she was not responding to anyone. She'd gone dark and knew she had to keep it a secret. But it's been so amazing to just like have a friend going on that epic journey. I felt like a side passenger the whole way. And yeah, it's just been amazing to see her her achieve that incredible, seemingly impossible dream and come back and be completely changed by it. You know, just the overview effect, this experience that astronauts have when they go to space and they totally understand that we live on a planet, we're hurtling through the cosmos together as a species on this one fragile, beautiful little planet. That changes you. I have interviewed many, many astronauts about that. And she and I, right after she got back, we sat down and talked for over an hour in an interview that will soon be released as part of a film that we're working on. Talking to her after, like, while knowing her so well, and then hearing what she had to say was really meaningful. But yes, she's always been just an incredible explorer, and it was bound to happen. She was just the right person for that seat, and yeah, amazing journey to watch.
Fantastic. She's at Dr. That's Dr. Cyan. That's Cyan Proctor on Twitter. Mike, you're up. Welcome to the stage.
I just thought it was worth noting, and then I also have a question. I thought it was worth noting to tomorrow that initially from what I understand, the first half of the Mint will be just for the whitelisters.
Good point.
Leads me to another question as well. Is there going to be a limit for the whitelists, and what would that limit be?
Thank you so much for saying that. I forgot to tell folks that if you're on the whitelist, you get 12 hours of early access to the collection. And then regarding the limit, actually, Ryan?
Yeah, I think we've got it set, and we're going to find out with the One Planet folks, but we've got it set at 7-4 the whitelist initial opening, and then 10-4 the public mint, which happens 12 hours later.
Awesome. Is that 17 total or 10 total?
17, yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Yeah, I'm not bad at math. I just thought maybe you meant 10, if you know, an extra 3 if you were already whitelisted.
Yeah.
Thanks, Mike, for that question.
Thank you.
Great question. Jonathan, welcome to the stage. All right, well, if Jonathan comes back with us, we'll let him ask a question then. Jonathan, if you're talking into your phone, you're muted currently. There you go.
Hey, guys. I'm just to say thanks for everything. I'm not speaking English very well, but I'm trying learning English is, but I'm just to say thanks for everything. Crypto evidence. All right. Thanks.
Thank you so much. Appreciate you, Jonathan. You came through loud and clear. So you're doing great.
Thanks. I'm learning English. Okay, but thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jonathan. We have if you're interested, by the way, if you're listening and you're interested in NFTs in general, One Planet is going to be launching a number of NFTs. There were 12 finalists and 3 winners in their recent contest, and all of these NFT series will be launching. Some of them are games, games included. I don't know if the games will launch immediately, but NFTs that are parts of games. Some of them are one of ones, and some of them are series of profile pictures like you might be used to seeing with Bored Apes and CryptoPunks and things like that. So all kinds of different NFTs launching in One Planet. And this is the first set, this amazing cosmic perspective set launching tomorrow for 1.42 Luna. Over, you can get details at cosmicperspective.com. I just can't turn Silas down. Silas, your hands raised.
Yeah, I am thrilled to see Relativity Space in here. I'm just such a big fan of their work. I mean, you could not say something cooler than a company that's literally 3D printing rockets. I mean, that is the future.
Relativity Space, welcome to the stage, if you will join the stage and respond to the amazing fan statement here. I just invited Relativity to speak. I don't know if they can, but if they can, they'll come and give you an answer, Silas.
That would be amazing. Thank you so much. Very honored to have you all.
Cheers, guys.
This is what it's about. Like, why don't we 3D print rockets, design the economic system that works for us all, and head to Mars? I think this is all possible, and we should try. It's worth a try.
I agree with that. Thank you, everyone. It's been a great session. If you have any last minute questions, there's still a chance. Go ahead and raise your hand or request to speak in Twitter Spaces. Otherwise, get your wallets ready if you want to participate in the sale. The mint fee is not very high, 1.42 Luna, and there's a whitelisted period. Sadly, if you aren't in the whitelist already, you can't join now, but there will be a public sale, a public time where you can get it even if you weren't in the whitelist. You can check out these NFTs for sale. VR experiences, tickets to cool things in the future, and support Cosmic Perspective, all the great work they do on the road to Mars. Thanks, everyone, for joining us in this amazing Spaces. The recording will be available for a while here on our Twitter here at Terabytes. And thanks, everyone, for coming on. I can't wait to talk to you again, both you, One Planet, and Cosmic Perspective, and all the people who participated here. Thanks so much. We'll talk to you soon.
I just wanted to add that you guys can join our Discord as well, and we can support any questions that you have in regard to the Mint.
Sure. If you're just coming now and you want details about the platform that the Mint is happening on, go ahead and follow. Get that One Planet speaker up on your screen and go to their profile. You'll see the web link, and you can get the Discord link there for any further questions. All right. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you. Thank you guys for joining.
Thanks, all.
Yeah.
Thanks,
Lyft. See you all soon.
Let's go.
It was an honor talking to you all.
You too, Silas.
Thanks, Silas.
We need like a catchphrase, like a sign-off.
You know, yeah.
Like, Ad Astra. I mean, there's nothing better than Ad Astra.
Well done.
All right, guys.
I'm down with that. Ad Astra.
Thanks for checking out another episode of The Ether. That was the Cosmic Perspective pre-launch AMA with One Planet, hosted by Terabytes. Recorded on Tuesday, January 18th, 2022. For TerraSpaces.org, I'm Finn. Ad Astra.
Stepping on the concrete where the rocks meet. Nighttime special ops flushing out the raw meat. If you think you want beef, think again promptly. Oddly, the bombs never dropped on the party. Probably the odds were too damn alarming. Disarming the population, that's a hard feat. Hardly break up the booze and the drugs. Wait till the bodies drop, then roll up the rugs. Raise up an army of suicide Barbies. Never bring a plastic knife to a gun battle. Gotta praise mommy for the do or die heartbeat. Gave up killing, now she's back in the saddle. Better pick a side, let them go gather. When the dogs of war are out looking for their master, feeling all wore out like a blood donor. But they wouldn't take it, didn't have the right aroma. When the enemy strikes, you better have a flashlight. Never have I seen darker days in my life. Everyone got a handout, looking for a pardon. Me, I'm just lucky, I found a good partner. The look on their face when the shit got started. A bunch of dead bodies, dearly departed. It's merely an art form made out of cardboard. Got a brain and the headed blood pumping heart for. Keeping everything saturated like a drugstore. Fighting through the lines like a blood sport of sorts. Just trying to get enough food to live. Can't grow your own when you're living in the shit. In the midst of all this, we never got our shit together long enough to sit and think about the bigger picture. Whether or not we ever had to run the risk, rather be a carrier gorilla in the mist.
But we need to remember that this virus will pass, but the decisions that we make today in this atmosphere will last. We will have to live with them, our children will have to live with them, all of our posterity will. It's not just about America. It's not just about your city. It's about everywhere.
Terra Spaces.